Welcome back to the Turley Frequency with host Kevin Turley. The phone lines are open, so call now at 888-928-0881. That's 888-928-0881. And share with us your thoughts and prayer intentions as we navigate this complicated world together. And now, your host of the Turley Frequency, Kevin Turley.
Yes, welcome back, and thank you so much for joining me today on the Turley Frequency here live and exclusive on Archangel Radio. If you've just tuned in, my name is Kevin Turley, and I'm your host, and I'm broadcasting to you from London, England. Can you believe it? And you are in Alabama or the United States or Belgium or wherever you're listening to us, but we are all one big happy family on this network, and especially at 9 a.m. Central Time, because that's the time that we pick up our rosary beads and we pray together. And we don't pray the rosary, we pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet. And this is the moment when we all come together and unburden ourselves, whatever's on our hearts. This is the moment to come together and to pray together. And if you're sitting there with something which is weighing you down, do you remember what Blair talked about that poor man who discovered that he had lost his mother while he was in the airport, needed somebody to talk to? If you've just had some bad news or some diagnosis or anything like that and you need somebody to pray for you, or you're not even sure what you need, give us a ring, 888-928-0881, or text me on 251-928-2111. We would be only too delighted to pray for you now. And if you don't think prayer works, well, I'm afraid I disagree. Prayer is the only thing that works sometimes. Not words, not advice, not a slap on the back or being told to pull yourself together or all of that stuff. It's all good stuff sometimes, well-intentioned, but useless. Prayer always has an impact. The scriptures tell us the Lord sends his word out and it does not come back before it has accomplished its task. So when our prayers go out, they do not come back until they have accomplished their task, which is somehow to do God's will in our lives, or for God's will to be effected in our lives. So that's what we're doing. That's what we're doing for the next 30 minutes. So let's find out. Reed, do we have a prayer warrior today?
We sure do, Kevin. In the studio with us is Mr. David Williams.
David, welcome back.
Thank you, Kevin. It's good to be back.
Yeah, it's good to have you back. How have you been keeping?
I'm just fine and dandy. I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Well, it's Lent, David.
Favorite time struggling. Of the year.
I'm struggling a bit. What about you? Is your Lent kicked off well?
It has. It truly is my favorite time of the year, as I'm sure it is yours. But it's been going well, you know. Praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Don't be sure about it being my favorite time of the year, David. But we'll leave it at that. I mean, it's a time of the year we need, right? We need Lent.
Absolutely.
You know, it's like a spiritual workout. You know, you never feel like doing that workout, but when you've done it, you always feel a bit better, right?
Yes, sir.
So that's right. Now, remind me, David, you've come from Christ the King, is it?
Yes, that's correct.
Wonderful. We had some of your fellow parishioners on yesterday. In fact, I think I can't remember a time when we haven't had people from Christ the King on. It seems to have completely monopolized the prayer warrior slot, which is great.
We think so.
Word is going out. Well, listen, if you're at St. Lawrence or you're at St. Margaret of Scotland or all these other wonderful parishes around the place, listen, you got to get on the act. Christ the King are running away with it. If this was a football championship, they're top of the table at the moment. They are really running away with it. That's great. So, David, I know that you know how the Divine Mercy works and you know how it works on this show.
Yes, I do.
That's great. And I'm hoping that you've come with your usual bag full, sack full of prayer requests for all the people that need prayers.
Yes, sir.
That's wonderful. So just before we begin, David and I will be praying now the Divine Mercy Chaplet. And as I say, if you've got something that you need praying for, what have you got to lose by asking David and me to pray for you this morning? I'd say you've got nothing to lose and you never know what you might gain. 251-928-2111. Okay, shall we begin, David?
Yes.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You expired, Jesus. But the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. And then we say together, David, O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus, as a fount of mercy for us, I trust in you. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us, I trust in you. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us, I trust in you. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell, and on the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. That's wonderful, David. We are off and running. So this first decade is all yours, David. Who or what would you like us to pray for?
I want us to pray for the conversion of my son, Zachary Christian.
Okay, that's. I know you've been praying for this before on air, David, and we're delighted to continue with you in this prayer. And Zachary Christian, if you're listening, know that your father has a very, very paternal heart for you and wants the very best for you, which is your conversion. Your conversion to the truth of our holy faith and all that that means in our lives. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you, David. And while we've been on air, as always, there are a number of requests have come in. Now, for any of you listening, you will have heard yesterday that Louise, good morning to you, Louise. Louise is a frequent texter to the show and delighted to be praying with you, Louise, especially for you and your family and for Hugh. But Louise at the moment is particularly asking for prayers about a little baby who is in need of treatment at the moment. And she's asking us to pray for the baby and the baby's parents. I know, Louise, you contacted us yesterday about this little baby. And I said, please keep us updated. So I'm grateful that you've done that, contacted Sherry and let us know what's happening. So we'll pray for this little baby and for the parents. I can't off the top of my head remember exactly what it was, Louise, but I'm sure you know what it is that the little baby was dealing with. But we pray for her. And it was a little girl, I remember, and her parents. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you, David. As a father, David, you must know how anxious it must be with a newborn and medical treatment and all. It must be a really difficult time for the parents, right?
It is. In fact, my son was 28 weeks, and so there was a lot of time that he was in the hospital. So my heart and prayers definitely go out to this family.
Absolutely, and we keep you in your prayers. Louise, if you're listening, thank you for your prayers and your intentions. And keep us updated on this little baby. You know, we love adopting people of all ages, children, adults, people at the end of their lives, people who are like Jim's mother-in-law, Sharon. We love praying on whatever that journey is, or praying for a miracle or some sort of respite at the end of their lives. Whatever it is, we love praying for you. So Louise, do keep us in mind. Now, talking of Jim, good morning to you, and thank you for your prayer request. We've got two from Jim this morning. Jim's asking for baby Rosemary, who is responding well to antibiotics. That's great, because I don't think, unless I'm wrong, Jim, I don't think baby Rosemary was responding quite so well yesterday.
Yeah, I think that is a good update for sure, Kevin.
Absolutely. Thank you, Reed. That's absolutely right. So praise the Lord, Jim, for that. Jim has even sent us through a little picture of Rosemary, which is wonderful. Her mom gave me permission to share this photo of her taken this morning. Mom is so grateful for your prayers for precious Rosemary. Well, Jim, you tell mom that the prayers are continuing and will continue for little Rosemary. I have to say, Jim, though, looking at that photograph, I've never seen a happier baby in my life bouncing around. So she's always, something's obviously happening. The divine mercy is definitely touching her life. But Jim has a secondary request, and it's one that's a little bit more serious. It's for Aaron. Aaron has been involved in a terrible motorcycle accident, says Jim, and he faces many surgeries before he can begin to learn to walk again. So we lift up Aaron and his family at this time. Jim, if there's any way of getting this audio to Aaron, just tell him to be of good faith. Tell him to be strong. The Lord is in these situations. I had a very, very terrible accident a few years ago, which I've alluded to a number of times, and the Lord was there. The Lord was in the midst of it, and through the prayers of very, very good people and the intercession of a very holy saint, which I'll tell the story one day, I was cured. So Aaron, be of good faith. We are people of faith on this show, and we're praying specifically for those injuries. The other thing I will say, for what it's worth, Aaron, is that doctors are the most pessimistic people in the world. That's their job. They will always tell you things are terrible. So, Jim, thank you so much for getting in touch. And in this decade as well, we also include you and your wife, Megan, and we also pray continually for the repose of the soul of Sharon. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you very much, David. David, have you ever been in a bad accident of some sort like that, like Aaron's going through?
I have been in a bad accident, and I was not injured, but my passenger was, and mm-hmm. it was a broken back situation. So, yes, I have had some experience at that.
Yeah, it's very difficult, isn't it, for all concerned?
Yes.
Did the person, were they able to get help?
Yes, she recovered. It was, an accident in which we were hit. Mm-hmm. And it's been 25 years ago, but it was a very, very, very scaring and enduring time.
Absolutely. I don't think you go through anything like that and not remain marked for the rest of your life in some way. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that's just the nature of it. Okay, so we've had another text in. Mary Beth, good morning to you. Always glad to have your text. Now, Mary Beth got an anniversary today. Mary Beth is saying, today is the anniversary of my dad's death 50 years ago. He was only 54. He was very troubled with anxiety and depression, and he committed suicide. And Mary Beth's father had fought on the shores of Normandy on the third day. That must have been the D-Day landings in 1944. And she's asking that the Lord have mercy on him and grant him eternal rest, and may perpetual light shine upon him. Mary Beth, thankfully it's not for us to judge. And all we do is pray. All we do is pray for your dear father, who heaven knows what he experienced in those battles that he endured in Normandy and elsewhere during the Second World War. And there were many, many people who have seen combat who have come back troubled with anxiety and depression and all the rest of it. So there's nothing unusual in that. But we pray for his soul that it may rest in peace. And we pray for you today, Mary Beth. We pray that you may be given the peace from the Prince of Peace, the only peace that is worth having. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful
passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Amen. Thank you very much, David. Mary Beth, you're very much in our prayers today. You really are. Now, got a couple of other requests that have come in, and they're all going to be loaded on to this fifth decade, David. I'm afraid I'd love to have given you another decade. We'll come to you in a minute, David, before we finish. Don't worry, because I know you've got other things you want to pray for, but I've got a couple of quick requests. We've had a listener texted in, Rob Herbst, good morning to you, and you're asking for prayers for a child who's fractured his skull in a baseball game last night. We pray for that child, Rob. We pray that the injuries aren't dangerous or serious in any way, that somehow the medical people can patch them up. My experience, children often, they bounce around and they recover quite quickly. So in this case, we pray that that child will very quickly be back on his or her feet, bouncing the ball or hitting the ball or whatever it is in a baseball game soon. Rob, we will continue to pray for that child, and do feel free to keep us updated on that child's progress, especially if we get its name, the child's name. We'll be able to pray for it each day until it's fully recovered. Now, you also heard my friend Amal was on the show earlier, and Amal sent through a prayer request for a friend of hers called Louise, who's French. And Louise has a very, very interesting life. Louise has come back to the Catholic faith, but Louise's job means that she is at sea. She's a mariner. She's at sea for months on end, and she's there out at sea without the Holy Mass. And Amal said it would mean so much to this sailor to know that we are praying for her out there. So I think that's a wonderful prayer, Amal, and we'd be delighted to pray for Louise. And you know what? If Louise, out on her ship, whichever ocean she's on, Atlantic, Pacific, wherever, if she ever wants to be a prayer warrior, we would be delighted with that. So give her our very best and tell her we're praying for her. And if possible, Amal, let her have this audio so that she knows that there are other Christians, other Catholics who are praying for this new Catholic out on the seas who, unfortunately, is without the sacraments. Amal is also asking for St. Joseph to pray for all those working and listening to the Turley frequency. Well, that's very kind of you, Amal, and we'll do that as well. We'll pray for everybody at Archangel Radio, especially in the month of March when we invoke the aid and protection of St. Joseph. And just one final request from Val. For Annalise. Annalise is dying at the moment, and Val is asking for prayers. She says Annalise is a lapsed Catholic, and she's praying. Val is praying for a miracle. So Val, we are with you. We're praying for Annalise at this time. This prayer is specially designed for those that are about to depart. So we pray for Annalise. May her soul and soul of all the faithful departed through the mercy of God rest in peace. Amen. David, this month of March, will you be praying any way specially to St. Joseph, being a father and all the rest of it?
Absolutely.
He's your go-to guy in heaven, is he?
St. Joseph is my go-to saint.
Yeah, he is for a lot of men, I think. We need him, right?
Absolutely.
That's great. So listen, David, this is the final decade, final orders. Tell me, who else or what else would you like us to pray for?
Kevin, I'd always like to pray for my betrothed, Anna Elizabeth, and then also for all of the holy souls in purgatory.
Lovely. All the holy souls. How is Anna Elizabeth?
She's just fine and dandy.
You haven't convinced her to come on yet, though, I noticed.
Not yet. She's working on it, let's say.
She's working on it. There's no rush. Anna Elizabeth, if you're listening, you're always welcome, and there's no pressure. David's doing a very good job because he's already praying for you. And this is a very special time for you and Anna Elizabeth, and we ask St. Joseph, who is the patron saint of that period, I often think, you know, between betrothal and marriage. He's the man that knows all about that. So we ask St. Joseph in a special way to pray for you, David, and Anna Elise at this moment. And also, you're absolutely right, St. Joseph is the patron saint of all the departing souls. So all those that we've prayed for so far on the show, but we also pray for all the holy souls and ask for the intercession of the Holy Patriarch, St. Joseph. Okay, let's say this final decade together, David. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
And then we conclude together, David. Holy God.
Holy Mighty One.
Holy Immortal One. Have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God. Holy Mighty One. Holy Immortal One. Have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God. Holy Mighty One. Holy Immortal One. Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, that in difficult moments we might not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. And then we say together, O my Jesus, I trust in thee. O my Jesus, I trust in thee. O my Jesus, I trust in thee. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. David, thank you so much for coming in again and praying with us.
My pleasure, Kevin. It's always such a wonderful thing.
And I hope you will come in again in the not too distant future. But I also hope that in any way we can help you in the coming months and weeks and years even, we'll be able to pray for you on air in all life's various situations.
Thank you so much, Kevin. I'll see you in 2 weeks.
I hope so.
Okay.
Okay, that's great. And love to everybody at Christ the King. What a wonderful place.
Thank you.
Thank you, David. Okay, listen, isn't that the best half hour on radio here in Alabama? I think so. I mean, it's got everything, right? It's the most real 30 minutes you're going to get on radio, that's for sure. When we come back, we will be celebrating St. David. It's St. David's Day, a great day for the Welsh, a great day for us Celts. So when we come back, I'll be telling you some stories about him. Stay tuned to the Turley Frequency. Welcome back to the Turley Frequency, live and exclusive on Archangel Radio, and welcome back to London, where we have got rid of all the werewolves today. I've just been sent a photograph by Amal, thank you Amal, of her French friend Luis, who is on board ship. And I didn't know what Luis did on board this ship, but from this photograph, it looks like she's the captain of the ship. She's got the whole captain, all this sort of panel in front of her, driving the ship. Wow, that's incredible. So, yes, Amal, if she wants to come on the show, fantastic. I know Amal's on in the next few weeks as a prayer warrior, so bring Luis on. Wouldn't that be amazing, having somebody from the middle of the Atlantic Ocean or the Pacific Ocean? Now, we've had a number of texts this morning from various listeners about the quality of the sound, and Mike has been doing wonders behind the scene to get it all fixed. Mike and Reed have sorted it all out, but apologies to Jackie and Luis, and thank you for your messages. For letting us know that everything was sounding as it did. But we hope it's sounding okay now. You know, when you're working in Catholic media, you expect this. Do you know why? Because somebody doesn't want you to hear all the good news that you're getting on Archangel Radio, so you kind of expect that. So let's check. I don't know if – is Mike still underneath that computer with that screwdriver, Reed, or has he come out yet?
Yes, he's still working on it. I think that we've got everything restored right now, but he's definitely still paying attention to that at this time.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's a bit. It reminds me of those scenes in Star Trek. You're too young to remember when Scotty used to lie under it and said, mm-hmm. "I'm going as fast as I can, Captain." You know, that sort of line.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
It's sort of like that. So, listen. Did that conversation about airports give you a different dimension of the whole business of modern travel?
Yes, I thought that was very interesting.
Mm-hmm. I did too. It really changed my mind a bit. I used to think that horrible places are important, but there are places full of souls. There's nowhere that isn't. If there are human beings, that means there are mm-hmm. souls, and there are souls that our Lord died for, so they must be worth something, right?
Gosh, I can't imagine how many people are even at the airport at one time. I don't even want to estimate because I'll be wrong, but it's got to be over. You know, 70 to 100,000 people there sometimes.
Oh, easily. In fact, I had the figures just there a minute ago. I'll look it up again. It was something. I mean, I know this because during the pandemic, one of the big airports here in London, they only had something like 50 travelers one day from an airport in London. Mm-hmm. And I think the figure for London was like 200,000 people. Regularly went through the airport. So that's what a big change. Now, I'll just give you the figures here. I've got them here for Atlanta. So Hartson Jackson has nonstop service to more than 150 domestic and 70 international destinations. And guess how many passengers traveled through its doors, Reed, in 2022. Now, remember, this is still a little bit down from, say, 2019, just before the mm-hmm. pandemic. But how many passengers do you reckon in 1 year, 2022? Have a guess.
Well, I do know that it's the busiest airport in the world, so I guess I'm going to go with 10 million.
Final answer?
Yes. The whole year.
Final answer?
Yes.
Okay, 93.7 million.
Oh, my gosh.
93.7 million. That's a lot of people.
That's unbelievable.
That's almost as much as listen to this show, right?
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Yeah, that's what Mike told me anyway. So 93.7 million, that's a lot of people. That's a lot of everything. I mean, that's a heck of a lot of people in terms of commerce, in terms of shops. No wonder there's so many shops and diners and all the rest of it at the airports, because you've got 93.7 million people passing through. That's more than the central London over a year, I would have thought. And 64,000 employees at the airport at any given time. Incredible. Mm-hmm. So they need a Blessed Sacrament Chapel, don't you reckon?
Yes, I definitely love that they have that space there for all people to come to and just, you know, be able to, you know, practice their faith and things like that. Dr. Amal definitely brought up a great point. There's something a little bit, you know, not ideal to me, you know, to have the Blessed Sacrament there, and then, you know, there's people praying. And they're not praying to the Blessed Sacrament. To me, that's, you know, not really ideal. So what she was saying about, you know, having two spaces might be a more ideal solution. That made a lot of sense.
Speaking of Blessed Sacrament, Kevin, we need one inside this studio.
Is this Mike or is this a chatbot, Reed?
It's really Mike.
My goodness. Mike, first of all, thank you for all your hard work this morning in restoring the sound. I said you were like Scotty in the Star Trek. You were always saying, I'm going as quick as I can, Captain. You know, that sort of line.
No, I'm just trying to help our engineer team. I'm helping to diagnose and you know, recording the problem that we've been having on our AM and FM signal and sending it to those who know a heck of a lot more than me, who's because it's an issue that's way above my pay grade, but I do the best I can and put on my technical hat and try to diagnose what I think may be the issue. Is it the issue? I have no idea.
I thought Wayne had sorted all this out, Mike.
I
it's been a while since he's been here.
I yeah. No, actually, I saw him pull up to the building before I came in. So hopefully we'll get that.
Was that just before the signal went down or after?
After, of course. You know, it's always after.
Are you sure? So listen, what did you think of this? Did you catch any of the thing about the airport? It was fascinating.
Yeah, I think I caught a story about the guy who was praying and his mom had passed and very, very powerful. He made a great point. You know, people who are traveling, they've got a load on their shoulders, and you know, as Christ says, come lay your heavy burdens to me. You know, my yoke is easy. So, what better place to have? I can't think of a better place to have a chapel to lay your burdens down than in an airport, and especially the busiest airport in Atlanta.
Absolutely. Well, one of the busiest, if not the busiest in the world. Absolutely. Yeah, 93.7 million people. Just going back to your point, Reed, I always was a bit queasy as well about the fact that the Blessed Sacrament was in this interfaith space. You know, it was a little bit nondescript. But the more I thought about it, the more I thought, well, you know, we know the truth, body, blood, soul, and divinity. And you never know people coming into that presence. You just never know who's going to have their hearts touched. And remember, the people that go there are already disposed to praying to God.
Now,
it's
God,
not the Christian God, but they're praying to God. They're open to that. You just never know. Maybe the Holy Spirit can just touch souls. I predict that this Blessed Sacrament Chapel in Atlanta will have fruit that even now we couldn't ask or imagine in all sorts of unseen ways.
Excellent. I agree.
So let's, you know, the Lord, you know, his miracles he will do. He is God. You know, let's not restrict the workings of God. But I agree. For we Catholics, when we go into these places, we should then be doubly reverent to the Blessed Sacrament there, because in doing that, we're giving witness to the truth of what is there and to our holy faith. So that's great. Okay, well, look, today is St. David's Day. Do either of you have any Welsh blood?
No. Do you have any Welsh blood, Kevin?
No, I think I'm a bit of a, you know, typically Irish in the sense that my name, as I've said to you before, is probably Viking, so I probably have more Norwegian blood than Welsh blood.
No, you don't have any of that kind of blood. You have Delaware blood.
Yeah, there's...
You're really, according
apparently,
to Elliot,
yeah,
you're,
one of
you're
our callers
from
Delaware,
true.
Not even from.
Yeah, you're duping us.
You reminded me, Mike, I must get an atlas out and look up where Delaware was, where I've come from, because I've completely blocked it out.
The North.
Yeah. Yes. Well, let's hope the Crusade Channel wasn't inundated with calls this morning from people wanting to know more about Elliot. I know there was a bit of a kerfuffle over at the Crusade Channel yesterday. In case you're wondering what we're talking about, we did a simulcast with the Crusade Channel, and we had a caller who we could honestly say we're used to Elliot on this station, and good morning to you, Elliot. But shall we say it, put the cat amongst the pigeons for the Crusade listeners, and they were very, very intrigued as to who Elliot was and where he was ringing us from. So just a normal day at the office for us here at Archangel. Okay, so, well, listen, let's go story time and find out a little bit more about St. David. So happy feast day for anybody who has any Welsh blood in them. Wales is, for those of you who don't know, Wales is that western part of Great Britain. It's the there's England, there's Scotland at the top, and Wales is off to the side heading west. And then you go through Wales, and then you come to the Irish Sea, cross the Irish Sea, and you're in Ireland. So... St. David is the patron saint of Wales, and St. David's Day is a great day of feasting and celebration in Wales. St. Patrick has the shamrock, and Wales has the daffodil.
That's the great symbol for Saint David, which in these islands is perfectly appropriate because daffodils are very much a spring flower. And Saint David's Day in certain quarters was often seen traditionally as the beginning of spring. Today is spring-like. It's a sunny day and it's not too cold. But the forecast for next week is that we're going to have snow in London. So work that one out. I have no idea what's going on with the weather most of the time. We seem to be going in different directions. Now, I'm going to approach what I could have done, and which I don't like doing, is just to tell you all about St. David. And he lived here and he died there. And you know, you can get that in Wikipedia. You can get that in the Catholic Encyclopedia, much better. So I was going to just sort of touch on a very mysterious place in England, which has a link to Saint David. And then, as I said at the top of the show, I'm going to give you the very tangential link with Elvis Presley. Yes, that Elvis Presley, the one and only, the king of rock and roll. So I hope I can fit this all in, but you know, if not, don't worry. We're back tomorrow, same time, same place, same frequency, and we'll finish whatever it is off. So I'm going to start with a little bit of poetry. Don't be frightened, just a few lines of poetry. Poetry from the start of the 19th century, so early 1800s. And it's the poet, the London poet and visionary, William Blake. Now, some call him a visionary. You could also say that maybe poor old William was simply a bit crazy. We're talking about full moons earlier. And Jim, thank you for your text about the full moon. Thank you for that. We'll maybe return to that at a future date as the full moon comes. But William Blake, many of you will know, was a fantastic sort of artist. And I've seen many of his drawings here and cartoons, essentially, they are here in museums in London. But he was also a wonderful poet. And his poetry is a strange mix of the earth and the heavens, things which are very much to the fore politically or at the moment of that point in history. But he has this kind of dimension that's in his art as well, where it's constantly referring to biblical references or heavenly things. But it's not the sort of biblical heavenly theology that many Catholics could recognize. It's not absolutely clear what William Blake actually believed in. It was a kind of, it was Christianity, I guess, but it was certainly a kind of do-it-yourself variety, I think. Anyway, he wrote these famous lines. Let me quote them to you. And did those feet in ancient time walk upon England's mountains green? And was the Holy Lamb of God on England's pleasant pastures seen? Now, if you ever go to an English England rugby game, you will hear this sung with great gusto because it was put to a piece of music by Elgar, and it's become a rousing anthem for England's rugby fans. I won't sing it for you this morning. I think that would be too much. But it's an ancient poem. What is that poem about? Let's have a look. Did those feet in ancient time walk upon England's mountains green? And was the Holy Lamb of God on England's pleasant pastures seen? Now, the Lamb of God is one of those themes that you often find in the writings of Blake. And what he's referring to is our Lord. Our Lord. Those feet in ancient time are the feet of our Lord. And did they walk upon England's mountains green? And was the Holy Lamb of God, our Lord and Saviour, on England's pleasant pastures seen? Now, you might sort of stroke your head and think, what is this about? Our Lord in England, is that even possible? Well, it's maybe not as strange as you think, because for many, many years, for centuries, there's been a legend that Joseph of Arimathea, yes, Joseph of Arimathea in the Bible, that's the one that certainly helps bury our Lord after the crucifixion. Well, there's a legend that he was a regular visitor to a part of southern, on the south coast of England, just up a little bit, a place called Glastonbury. Now, you may have heard of Glastonbury, because today Glastonbury is famous the world over, or infamous the world over, depending on your point of view, because there's a great rock festival that happens there. Happens in a farm there, and it's known as the Glastonbury Festival. And it's become very, very popular in the last 20 years and is very, very fashionable. So the headline act of the three-day festival is something which is much coveted by pop stars and rock stars and all the rest of it. And I think last year, I could be wrong, I'm not a great follower of this sort of thing, but I think Paul McCartney might have headlined last year. But that's each year it's somebody of that sort of stature in the pop music world that takes this on. And it's something which now the BBC covers, I believe, on television, but also on radio, and the newspapers are full of it, and it's a great place for gossip and all the rest of it. So Glastonbury in the modern mind is often referred to as that. But if you've ever been to Glastonbury, there's another side to Glastonbury which is slightly more disturbing. And maybe that's why the rock festival's there. I never really linked the two until I'm speaking to you this morning. But it's a place which has become synonymous with New Age, with crystals, and it's a place where people come, covens are said to be held, and worshippers of Norse gods and even Satanists are known to gravitate towards Glastonbury. It's become a kind of mixture of beliefs all jumbled together, a kind of cacophony of screeching voices, searching and searching, but finding only a reflection of themselves, perhaps with the evil one holding the mirror. Maybe I'm being too pessimistic, but I've been to places like this in other parts of the British Isles. Places which I remember going to a village, my wife and I stayed in a little village in Cornwall, which is not far from Glastonbury. It's way out west. And also, like Wales, it is an ancient Celtic land. People think Cornwall is England. It's not. It's actually Celtic, as was Wales. And I remember going to this little village, a little sort of fishing village. And there had been two churches in the village, the Anglican Church, the established Church of England, and a little free church. But both were now closed. And the little village was full of shops selling New Age paraphernalia. And there was a decidedly strange feel about this village. You know those kind of films where people turn up on holiday and suddenly they're people are watching them or looking at them oddly. I mean, I honestly felt a little bit out of it. But I remember going into this shop. I was rather surprised that all the churches were closed and seemed to have been closed for a very, very long time. So I went into one of these shops and I was chatting to the lady who was selling potions and spells and all that New Age paraphernalia. And I just said to her, what happened to all the churches? And I remember her reaction. She said, nobody worships there anymore. I said, right. She said, no, she said, you know. And she went on to describe other ways in which the villagers were worshiping. And they were not Christian. But there was this sense of a kind of post-Christian world that had been entered into. And it wasn't very materialistic or secular. It was strangely a return to a form of paganism, which must have been rooted out by the likes of St. David and St. Patrick when they were evangelizing the British Isles. So I hope that gives you a flavor of where Glastonbury is today. It's a place which gets a lot of New Age travelers, seekers, people looking for something but not the church, looking somewhere, anywhere, and trying to find a religion of self-realization and earth worship and that type of thing. So it may come as a bit of a surprise then to say, well, Glastonbury has this ancient legend about our Lord. Or maybe it doesn't. Maybe we shouldn't be surprised that holy places are taken over by other elements in these modern times. And that the truth of those holy places is so buried in history that sometimes you have to look really closely to see what's there. So let's think a little bit about this Joseph of Arimathea link. Now, most of you listening, or any of you who have a Christian background, will know who Joseph of Arimathea is. This is in the Bible. It's very, very clear. And The thing is that Joseph of Arimathea in the Bible, or traditionally by legend, is perceived as a very wealthy man. Remember, it was the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea which our Lord is buried in, and it was a tomb which he had obviously bought and prepared for his own death, that is Joseph of Arimathea. And he obviously gave it to our Lord. So he was a man, we reckon, of great wealth. And the legend is that he was involved in the very profitable trade of copper. There were copper mines just south of Glastonbury. That part of Roman Britain was very well known for these copper mines. And it is said that there was a lot of trade. We underestimate how much travel there was in that first century. And there was a lot of travel through the Mediterranean and up to Britain via the seas. And that's the way in which copper and other goods were transported from throughout the Roman Empire, throughout the Mediterranean. The Mediterranean was like a superhighway. We've just been talking about the airport at Atlanta and the millions that travel through it every year. Well, the Mediterranean was a bit like that. It was this superhighway where people would travel quite easily on boats between the Holy Land and Greece and modern day Italy and over to Spain. This was not a difficulty. So you get lots of legends about characters in the Holy Land turning up in various parts of Europe. And they're not just legends. I mean, some of these are recorded in scripture. I mean, we see how frequently and how quickly St. Paul travels all over the place. Or even St. Peter, they're always on the move, and there's no great, they don't feel any problem with this, there's no issue. And there's all sorts of stories about Mary Magdalene, for example, in southern France, which I may come to one day. So the idea that St. Joseph of Arimathea was somehow traveling to Roman Britain is not beyond the realms of possibility. It's not outlandish at all. There were trade links between Roman Britain and the Holy Land. So, there's something there. So, it gets more interesting, though, because there is this pious tradition as well that Joseph of Arimathea was somehow linked, related by family in some way to Our Lady and ultimately to Our Lord, maybe through Saint Joseph. We don't know. Now, this is conjecture. This is not, I'm not putting this forward as anything written down, but there's some sort of family link, familial link between Joseph of Arimathea and the Holy Family. Is it coincidence that Saint Joseph and Joseph of Arimathea? Do you remember I said the other day that when you start reading the Bible with those eyes of Saint Joseph, you see the name Joseph popping up all over the place? Well, it's popping up in this, and in some ways, maybe it's not surprising that it was a Joseph that would bury the crucified Savior in a tomb in Jerusalem. Is that a coincidence? I don't think so. Now listen, we have come, believe it or not, to the end of story time already, and I haven't really even got going, but I hope I've set the scene and whetted your appetite to learn a bit more about this mysterious place, Glastonbury, and its links to St. Joseph, Joseph of Arimathea, St. David, and also Elvis, but I'll get to that maybe tomorrow. So for now, St. Joseph of Arimathea, pray for us.
You've been listening to Storytime on the Turley Frequency.
Who's coming up tomorrow, Kevin?
Well, I'm glad you asked me, Reed. We've got UFOs and biblical prophecy. How about that for starters?
Wow. We're well aliened on this show.
We're completely UFO'd up.
We're asking for aliens to come visit us. Kevin.
You know, sometimes, Mike, when the phone lines are open lines, I'm beginning to wonder.
Mm-hmm.
Just,
yeah, me too.
Just saying. Listen, if you've enjoyed today, why don't you tune in again tomorrow? Same time, same place, same frequency. We're doing it all again. We're doing story time. We're doing divine mercy. We've got a great guest tomorrow, and you are invited to the party here at Archangel Radio. I mean, what else are you going to do on a Lenten Thursday but listen to the Turley Frequency? So, until then, stay tuned to the only station broadcasting from the Bay of the Holy Spirit, which is Archangel Radio. And until we meet again, may God bless you and keep you. And may St. Joseph guard you and protect you.